Steelers Ravens preview time, but we're going to lead off talking about what Kenny Pickett had to say about Matt Canada. He had some interesting comments about their relationship. We'll dive into that. And of course, we'll get into our picks for the upcoming week, all the picks, and then a final picks of who's going to win Steelers Ravens. And I say we because it's Jenna Harner back with us as always on Fridays. I'm Chris Carter, host of the Locked On Steelers podcast. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things the Pittsburgh Steelers. As always, you can find this show on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube. If you're watching this video on YouTube, hit the like button on the video if you enjoy this. Hit the subscribe button on our YouTube channel to get all of our daily Monday through Friday episodes, as well as our bonus content. We thank you for making us your first podcast listen every day because we're your team every day. As I said before, we're joined by Jenna Harner of Channel 11. Jenna, how you doing?
Chris, happy Friday. Oh my goodness. It's December football. It's getting hot in the kitchen. Add every single Tomlinism you want to add because it is that time of year. And I'm pumped. I don't know about you, but I'm so pumped for this time.
I'm pumped.
The season.
I'm pumped too because this is also college football bowl time. We're getting a lot of excitement here. Basketball's picking up. Hockey's picking up. It's a great time to be a big sports fan. And in the NFL as well, like you said, This is the gritty time where we're going to figure out who actually can make a push to the playoffs. The Steelers have a chance, but part of that chance, they're going to have to beat the Ravens at least once to get there. And it seems like this is a prime opportunity with it look like Lamar Jackson not playing in this game. But before we get to any of that, we got to talk about Kenny Pickett and Matt Canada, because a lot of people have been on the train to get rid of Matt Canada. Now they wanted him gone before, they wanted him gone months ago. And Kenny Pickett had some not so derogatory comments about Matt Canada, for the Steelers. Now, this was during the Wednesday availabilities, but our buddy Mike DeFabo asked, "What do you remember when Matt Canada was recruiting the Pitt, and how has that relationship evolved over time?" Kenny Pickett says about Matt Canada, because Matt Canada was the OC when he was at Pitt at the time and was recruiting Kenny Pickett at the time. He said, "Yeah, I just think we connected. Like you said, pretty early on in high school, we have a pretty good relationship where we could talk pretty much anything. We're open and honest on what I see, and he asks me all the time. I think that open line of communication is just going to continue to improve, and he's very open to suggestions that we all have as a player on the staff. It's just a collective effort, and it's definitely cool to have an OC that's open to that and not just kind of closed-minded. So it's a pretty good relationship, and that he has with all of us." Jenna, there's been a lot of talk that Matt Canada didn't have a good relationship with the entire Pittsburgh Steelers. To hear that from the rookie quarterback who could shrug off anything at this point. No, Kenny Pickett's here for at least another 4 or 5 years. His job is safe. And he's out here saying, like, yeah, I like working with the offensive coordinator that everyone thinks should be fired.
Yeah, and it's kind of intriguing because, again, sometimes we don't get to deep dive into these players' mindsets and know exactly what they're thinking. But this seems like it's a pretty solid, vote from Kenny Pickett to Matt Canada, just in terms of what he's done and in terms of, working with him. I think the most intriguing part of this for me is just the fact that there's so much trust from Matt Canada to Kenny Pickett. So for Kenny Pickett to sit there and say, okay, my offensive coordinator does trust me, where if I'm like, hey, I'm seeing this, let's change to this, let's do this. And there was a couple plays, I think it was the Benny Snell touchdown against the Colts. There's been a couple plays recently where we found out after the fact that Kenny Pickett was like, hey, I saw this, I told them, I decided we were going to do this. And having that type of relationship, especially for a rookie, I think is so crucial in their development. And I think we're starting to see more of that with Kenny Pickett as well. But again, this is a guy, Matt Canada, that everybody has kind of been saying, hey, he needs to be fired. They want him out. But for kind of a vote of confidence from Kenny Pickett to have that from a rookie quarterback, I think that is going a long way. And who knows what will happen next year? Will Matt Canada be the offensive coordinator of this team? We don't entirely know. But the fact that Kenny Pickett feels comfortable, at least with the relationship that they have. And again, if he didn't, we probably wouldn't really know it, because that's just also not the type of person that Kenny Pickett is in terms of being outspoken and, thing, crazy outspoken, I guess, in that way. But yeah, this is just, it's one of those things. It's like, okay, this is a positive sign for all those involved. Maybe even if a lot of people don't entirely see it that way.
No, I agree. And here's the thing is that I'm not here saying that they shouldn't get rid of Matt Canada at the end of the year if they think that they can bring in a better offensive coordinator who can help Kenny Pickett along faster. But I said all season, I didn't think Matt Canada was the biggest problem with the offense. I thought the biggest problem was they had a rookie quarterback, or before him, a mediocre to bad quarterback in Mitch Trubisky. They had an offensive line that was figuring out how to play with each other, and a bunch of players, an offense with no direction, an offense with no, you know, solidified leader who had years of experience of leading this offense in the NFL. So it was going to take time to build, and we're seeing that this now. They're still not where you want this offense to ultimately be, but they are making progress, and to deny them that I think would be just inaccurate. But, you know, more to what you were saying, you know, him kind of sitting there and saying, like, yeah, we have a good – he trusts me with things. One of the claims that was made early on was that Matt Canada was too stuck in his ways, that he wouldn't let quarterbacks change play calls. We've seen that that is false. We've seen that he is open to working toward the strengths of his players. And to me, that's one of the biggest, that's often the biggest thing that an offensive coordinator can or can't do, is that if an offensive coordinator is so stuck in their ways that they refuse to go to the strengths of their players, of the best players in their team, then, and it doesn't, and it leads to bad results, then you can say, okay, this is a bad plan over a long period of time. That's why he should be gone. But Matt Canada is showing, and we're hearing it from the Steelers players themselves, that he wants to get these players involved in ways that feed into their strengths. And again, I think it just shows there's a little bit more something brewing in the Steelers offense than people thought about a month ago or so when the Steelers are coming out of the bye week.
Yeah, and of course, I mean, there was going to be struggles in every facet of things, just in the personnel alone that this offense has. Yes, this wide receivers room was incredibly talented, and that is one of their biggest strengths. But elsewhere, there were so many questions coming into this season about the offensive line, about Mitch Trubisky, or eventually Kenny Pickett at quarterback. And those are all very, very reasonable questions, but also very crucial in terms of having offensive success. You need a quarterback who is going to be able to make plays. That is a quarterback-driven league. You need an offensive line that's going to be able to block, protect their quarterback, their biggest asset, and establish a run game. And now that we're seeing a little bit more consistency, and again, I'm not saying that this Steelers offense is one of the best in the league at this point, but from where it is, where it's been since the bye, to what we saw to start the season, and you know, week 4, 5, 6, that during that intense stretch when they played the Bills, the Eagles, the Bucks, you know, that entirety of it. Now we know the Bucks, so take them out of it, I guess. But you know, there were going to be questions or answered, but in those, since the bye, we've seen this team take steps. We've seen them take strides. And you got to give pretty much everybody on that offense, including Matt Canada, some credit in just what they've been able to do. And yes, I know people automatically want to turn to the fact, oh, well, they're playing weaker teams and all that. The biggest focus once this season started to shape out the way it was going to be, and you know, yes, the playoff dreams can still potentially be alive. Technically, they're not statistically out of it, and a big win this week could go long in terms of that. But the fact that the focus for at least the second half of the season, when things weren't going their way, was developing Kenny Pickett. And this is exactly what we're seeing happen. And again, you do have to give Matt Canada some credit.
Absolutely. We'll get more into this when we break down Steelers-Ravens later in the show. A brief update on the Steelers' injury situation. The Thursday practice report had Deontay Johnson being downgraded from limited practice to not practicing on Thursday. Najee Harris went up to being a limited participant from not participating on Wednesday. Malik Reed, a full participant. Chukwuma Okorafor, a limited participant. Watt, Hayward, Ogunjobi all didn't practice, but Thursday has been often a kind of a rest day for veterans like Cam Hayward. Larry Ogunjobi's been dealing with nagging injuries, as has TJ Watt. And I wonder, Jenna, if Deontay Johnson is in the same boat as them.
Yeah, it's definitely something to keep an eye on. As we always tell people, you know, Friday when that final injury report ahead of the weekend comes out, take a look at that there. But Mike Tomlin had talked about, you know, TJ and Larry dealing with some bumps and bruises. He didn't seem to think that they were going to be anything major. Definitely just something to keep an eye on, though. I wouldn't anticipate too much with that. Deontay, I'm a little intrigued by just because it feels a little bit out of the norm. But like you mentioned, this really could be a situation where they're just like, hey, you're a little banged up. It's later in the season. You're a veteran in terms of the offense because of how young everybody is, will give you kind of a day.
Absolutely. We'll get more into this game in a bit. But first, before we do any of that, we have to talk to you because this episode is sponsored by BetterHelp Therapy Online. Life is full of twists and turns, and it's important to show up for yourself through all of them. I've faced plenty of times in my life where I've tried to shoulder a lot of burdens, but found my answers thanks to help from good therapists. BetterHelp Online Therapy will help you assess your needs and can match you with your own licensed professional therapist in less than 48 hours. Talk about your personal experience with these professionals, and they're going to help you figure out how to find the best out of each and every day when you're moving forward. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional therapy done securely online, and it's available to people worldwide. You can log on into your account anytime and send a message to your therapist. And with therapy, it can take a few times to try to find the right fit for you. So BetterHelp makes it easy and free to change your therapist if needed. And they have a special offer for all of our listeners, 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/lockedon. So go to BetterHelp, HELP.com/lockedon, and you'll get 10% off your first month. Again, that's betterhelp.com. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, because it's the Friday edition, we got our picks segment come along here. Jenna Hunter and I still, and dang it, you pulled another game ahead. What is going on with this? Stop it.
We are thriving. 95th percentile.
Apparently, she has 118 correct picks on the season. I have 115. Jenna's at 24th place. I'm in 42nd in our league. We have over 240 people participating. We thank you to everyone participating. A shout out to our people up at the top. Double Yoy in third place with 124 wins. Jake Heister in second place with 125, but still in first place, the Yappin' Yinzer with 129. So shout out to everyone who participates. But let's get into our picks for this week. Jenna, let's get into an AFC East showdown that's actually pretty interesting right now. The Bills found out Von Miller's done for the season. They're playing host at 9-3 to the 7-5 Jets, who have looked interesting with Mike White. Their defense is still pretty tough, but I'm taking the Bills at home. I think this is where we start to see the Jets fall off.
Yeah, I think so too. And the Jets have had a really phenomenal season, but I just think you look at the Bills, they're a better team. The Bills, when Jordan Poyer plays, the Bills are undefeated. They're three losses, I believe. Let me check if that's right. Yep, their three losses have come when he does not play. This team is rallying around the fact that they are going to be without Von Miller for the rest of the season. Their goal is still the Super Bowl. I think they're still one of the top teams in the AFC. I'm going to be intrigued to see how the playoff picture shakes out. But yeah, I'm going the Bills in this one too. It's going to be close though. I think the Jets cover. It was like a 9.5 point spread. I think the Jets cover. Yeah. The Bills win though.
Divisional football, I doubt that it's that big of a margin, even though some people think that with the Jets situation. But another divisional matchup, Browns at Bengals. The 5-7 Browns at the 8-4 Bengals. Deshaun Watson in his second game didn't look too good the first time, but even without him, the Browns spanked the Bengals the first time. I think the Bengals turn it around. They're playing like a better football team right now. They beat the Chiefs last week. I think the Bengals get another win at home this week.
I've been seeing on Twitter when we're taping this leading into this, everyone's like, are the Bengals going to win a Super Bowl again? I wouldn't put it that far. I think they're a really good football team. And obviously, again, it's going to be how the AFC playoff picture kind of shakes out here. But I just think they're peaking at the right time. They've looked really solid. Samaje Perine has kind of jumped right in with the absence of Joe Mixon. Yes. I think that having Ja'Marr Chase back is huge for this team. And I think they're going to continue to do what they do well and win football games. I'm not entirely sold to on Deshaun Watson's coming back just in terms of the way he played. I know everything else aside, the way he played, he did not look great. Sure, he could shake off some rust, but yeah, I think the Bengals win this one easy.
The Texas Bowl, the Houston Texans visit the Dallas Cowboys. I'm just picking the Cowboys. I don't need to explain why.
If the Cowboys aren't your key pick for this week, what are you doing? Look what they did to the Colts last week. It's probably going to be worse against Houston.
Absolutely. 10-2 Vikings at 5-7 Lions. The Lions have been upstarts lately. They've been pulling off the upsets. I think the Vikings hold on, though, in this one. But the Lions, I'd watch out. Kirk Cousins, Justin Jefferson, they better show up because I think this is going to be a shootout.
I keep going back and forth with this game, and I don't know what to do. And I'm going with the Lions.
Pick the Lions.
I don't know what's happening.
Pick the Lions.
I picked the Lions.
There we go. We got a split. Okay, and I got the favorite. I like that.
The Lions are the betting favorite.
Wait, what? Vegas is picking the Lions? I didn't even look at their line. I was just like, it's the Lions.
The last check of the line was Lions by 2.5.
How? So they are 5 games less than the. Yeah. When was the last time that a team with 5 less wins, like 5 games down, they're 5 games back in the NFC North. When was the last time that a team 5 games back in their division is the favorite over the team that's leading the division?
I'm dying to know. I'm going to check one more time because this was yesterday. Things, you know, leading into us taping this. So things may have changed. But at last check, Lions. Hold on. I had it up here. Right here. Here's the Lions. Here's the spread. Drum roll. Yeah. Okay. Now it was 1.5. Everybody has everything different. Anyway, the Lions were the betting favorites in this
one. At some point. That's still ridiculous.
Going with the Lions here.
All right, it'll be a shootout. That's our first split. Eagles at Giants. Now, Jenna, you have to pick your Giants. It's your football Giants.
I don't have to pick them when it's the Philadelphia Eagles.
I was trying to suck her in. I'm trying to catch up, y'all. I'm trying to use psychoanalysis to mess with her.
And I appreciate that, but I told the Christmas ornament story, and the Christmas ornament is slowly moving towards the back-ish of the
tree. Oh, man.
You put it in, like, the front's here, and where it, like, rotates, it's, like, right there. So it's, like, just as the tree turns, so it's, like, oh, okay, it's not, like, directly in the front, but I'm, like, okay, it's been a solid season, but they keep losing. So, yeah, I'm going Philly.
Oh, she's going Philly, so am I. I think they mopped the floor with the Giants.
Yeah.
Another divisional matchup, Jaguars at Titans. Jaguars have been so up and down. They're a threat 1 week. They upset the Ravens and they get smacked the next week. I'm going with the Titans at home. I think they do enough to run the ball in this game to find their way out. But neither of these – the Titans, they've had their chances to show that they could be among the best teams in the NFL, and they just haven't been able to prove that yet. But I think they win this divisional game.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think Derrick Henry has a much better week than he did last week as well. I know that there's been ups and downs. And there's been things haven't been great with them. And obviously them just firing their GM, I believe, earlier this week.
Yeah, they did.
So, you know, which that also felt kind of strange. Totally different tangent. But yeah, I'm going with the Titans in this one. To me, they're just a better football team and they should be able to run the ball and win this game.
Yeah, totally had nothing to do with their GM trading A.J. Brown to the team that was just massacring them with A.J. Brown in the middle of that game as the owner was being taunted in his owner's box by Eagles fans. That definitely
did not play a role at all.
Not at all. Moving along, 4 o'clock games, Chiefs at Broncos. We don't explain it's Chiefs. Broncos are trash. They're just – forget it.
This is probably going to be the highest scoring game of the week. Maybe. Actually, no, that's a lie. I'm going with the Vikings and the Lions game.
I agree, though, because they're going to combine for scoring. The Broncos just won't score. The Chiefs might score more points than the Vikings or the Lions, but they won't get more combined points because the Broncos' offense is putrid.
Yep.
Panthers at Seahawks. Panthers are 4-8. I don't know how they have 4 wins, but they're playing the Seahawks. The Seahawks are playing better football. They've looked like a group. Geno Smith, you've been talking about his revenge tour all year. I think they get the win at home.
I think so too. This one just feels like Seattle's just a better team. Carolina has so many question marks. Is Sam Darnold playing at quarterback? I think. I don't know. Yeah, we're going with Seattle.
This is interesting. The 6-6 Buccaneers at the 8-4 Niners. The Niners have been that team that they haven't had good quarterback play all year. So you wonder, even with Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance out for the season, can they win a game with Brock Purdy? Maybe. But I think the Buccaneers win this one. They've been on a roll of finding ways to win weird games. Tom Brady's going to find a way to win this one in San Francisco. I just think that this is going to be one of those annoying Tom Brady, because it's going to be like 7-6, and Tom Brady's going to lead them to a field goal drive where they win. They're going to be like, the great Tom Brady did it again in a terrible game. But the Buccaneers have been – putting together some weird wins of late, and against the third string quarterback, I give him the edge.
I just look at the Niners defense to me. That's what feels like it's going to win this game. I don't know what's been up with Tom Brady this season. Ever since we saw him in Pittsburgh, things just haven't entirely looked right. I'm going with the Niners strictly because of their defense. And I guess a lot of the guys on the Niners, based on reports I've seen, have really bought into Brock Purdy and say, like, you know, we don't, because he's a rookie. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I think he's either a rookie or very close to it.
Yeah, I would say rookie or second-year player. I believe he's like a younger guy. But like guys in the locker room, I think Deebo Samuel, are saying the fact that they believe in this guy, which of course you're going to say about your
– Not only is he a rookie, he's the last pick of the draft this year.
He was Mr. Irrelevant.
That's right. He was Mr. – I forgot all about that being a thing when he was playing last week. I knew that I was like, oh, Brock Purdy's in – they're in trouble. But again, that's why I'm picking. If Tom Brady loses to rookie Mr. Irrelevant, he needs to give back all of his Super Bowl rings, every single one of them.
I'm here for the history. It's going to happen. I'm here for it.
It's going to happen. Not all right. Night games. Dolphins at Chargers. I'm picking the Dolphins, even though Tua has been a little banged up. The Chargers are just too inconsistent. They think the Dolphins find a way to win a game that they really need to win so that they don't fall back into the other tier of playoff teams that are in danger.
Yeah, I completely agree. And it's been really interesting because I guess the Dolphins have just been staying in California all week and have been practicing there. So it's not the whole East Coast going to the West Coast thing, yada, yada, yada. All of those, you know, interesting reasons. We were like, well, I'm going to go with this guy and all that stuff. Yeah, I think the Dolphins are just also a better football team and can run the ball and can stop the run versus the Chargers. They can't do that.
Monday Night Football, Patriots at Cardinals, Patriots 6-6 at Cardinals 4-8. I'm going with the Cardinals. I know the Patriots have been a better team most of this season, but I like the Cardinals at home, the West Coast team, Monday Night Football. I think they find a way to win this game. I just don't trust the Patriots' offense enough. Not that I trust the Cardinals, but I just think this is going to be one of those games the Cardinals find a way to pull out because they have a few more bigger playmakers on their roster.
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel about this. And I know there's been so much talk about Kyler Murray and the – I was almost going to go with a different story there. Holy smokes. My brain has been, you know, going on. You're that fine. Kyler Murray and one of his former teammates said something. It's just like all about Patrick Kyler. Peterson. Patrick Peterson said it's always all about Kyler, yada, yada, yada. I still think that this offense just is a better offense than the Patriots right now. I'm going with the Cardinals in this one. These feel too similar to me in terms of the teams, but I just like Arizona. They're a little more explosive. And I think that if you're just looking at quarterbacks, in my opinion, I like Kyler better than I like Mac Jones.
I hear that. We'll get to the Steelers-Ravens pick in just a minute here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. But first, we got to talk to you guys about Prize Picks. Prize Picks, of course, is daily fantasy just made easy. All you got to do is pick 2 to 5 players. If you have a beat on their fantasy read for that week, all you're guessing is more or less than their projected stats from Prize Picks. So if you're guessing whether or not Najee Harris will get 60 yards in this game, you think more or less, you hit on that, you're going to make money. And with Prize Picks, you can make up to 10 times your money on any entry. You're not competing against others. It's just about guessing right on more or less picks. Prize Picks includes the NFL, NBA, NHL, college sports, and so much more. Get in on Prize Picks now by downloading the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON, Locked On, when you go check out the Prize Picks app or prizepicks.com. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm Chris Carter. She's Jenna Harner. Jenna, Steelers-Ravens is always a tough one. Now, granted, the Steelers have won 4 in a row, which is crazy to think about when you think about this rivalry's history. But now the Steelers are playing a team that's not going to have Lamar Jackson. He's set to be out for this week. They're playing Tyler Huntley, who they played last year in the season finale. They were able to beat him with a last second field goal to in overtime to avoid a tie. I do think it's going to be still a close game, but what's the biggest factor that you're looking at the Steelers have to achieve against the Ravens?
And this is, I feel like it's too easy with this one, but Kenny Pickett against the Ravens pass rush. Basically, just the way that they are going to look to attack him. But you and I have talked about on this show and multiple times this season how Kenny Pickett has fared this season against the blitz. It's one of his strengths. It's what we've seen really, really well. So how are the Ravens going to counter that? And how is Kenny Pickett as a rookie going to be able to deal with being under fire? I want to say probably a little more than he's been all season. At least it feels like it's going to be in this game. But I feel like that, again, it's a strength of his. And I feel like that is going to show through, especially because, again, what we've seen from the Steelers offense, the way that the run game has progressed the last handful of weeks here, because when you're running the football, it's no secret you open up a whole lot more options to be able to do more things in terms of the downfield passing game, things along those lines. So it's just going to be, and I feel like I keep going back to this too, offensive consistency for me. Can Kenny Pickett see what the Ravens are going to be doing, how they're going to look to attack him? Can they formulate a really solid game plan to say, hey, we're going to feature your strengths. We know what's been working well. Let's continue that. Let's keep building on what they can build on, getting more pieces involved offensively, guys like Deontay Johnson, George Pickens, things along Najee Harris, things along those lines, finding Pat Freiermuth the way he found him a lot in the Falcons game. I feel like I'm just giving a whole game plan at this rate. But yeah, Kenny Pickett versus the Ravens defense.
No, I'm right with you there. He needs one thing that happens is that both of these teams rank up there in run defenses, especially the Ravens have the second best run defense in the NFL. And I talked about this Kevin Ostreicher of Locked On Ravens for yesterday's show, but I think it's a huge thing for the Steelers if they can win the time of possession, and it won't just be done with the run game. They also have to do it with the passing game, and that means Kenny Pickett's going to have to be on his game. I wonder if Deontay Johnson does play, where does Marlon Humphrey line up? Because Marlon Humphrey's been playing a very good year for the Ravens. It's been Marcus Peters, though, who's been getting torched a lot for big plays. If George Pickens is being covered by Marcus Peters and they get a lot more one-on-one looks, that's where I see Kenny Pickett going a lot in this game, Jenna. And if they can make a few of those happen, avoid the turnovers, make sure that it's the Steelers who are making the big plays. I do think that this is a game the Steelers can win and find a way to turn around. So, all that being said, Jenna, give us your who you think is going to win, where your turning point comes in the game, and your final score prediction.
So I'm going with the Steelers in this one. I do think they win this game. I think just the combination of the fact that they've been playing well, they're stacking wins. The Ravens have been on a bit of a downslide. I've had some question marks about them the last couple of weeks. Honestly, all the way back to the Browns game. They squeaked one out against the Browns. They squeaked one out against the Bucks.
Yeah.
They did decently against the Saints. They squeaked it out against the Panthers. And then obviously the upset against the Jags and then squeaking one out against the Ravens. It feels like there's been a lot of close games that this Ravens team has played in, which you can obviously say is a good strength or, you know, a negative strength. You can find both sides to that. I just think that the Steelers can win this game if they hold on to the football as well. The turning point is going to be a turnover forced, in my opinion, by the Steelers defense. That's going to set them up. Kenny Pickett and company are going to lead the ball down the field and kind of get that drive to really seal the deal and put this one away. I'm going 27-23 Steelers win.
I feel you on that. I also think it's going to be a turnover that does it because I think this is a game where Minkah Fitzpatrick takes over. I think that you see him fly around a bit. The Steelers are going to contain enough of the Ravens' run, and they're going to say, hey, you know what? Let's rely on our guys to live on islands. Yep. Well, they've done that a lot this year, and there's sometimes they've been toasted by it. You know, receivers like Gabe Davis, Stephon Diggs, A.J. Brown. They've been toasted by a lot of really top-tier receivers. The Ravens don't have those, and they don't have Lamar Jackson. If I'm the Steelers, I'm telling my front, stuff the run, take away the easy underneath stuff. You're going to trust Cam Sutton. You're going to trust Levi Wallace, Terrell Edmonds, DeMonte Keatsy, and Minkah Fitzpatrick to win in their matchups and make it so that this rookie, or not this rookie, he's not a rookie, but make it so that this backup can't have an easy day throwing the ball. If he's throwing the ball, he's throwing it in situations where it's 50-50 chances where you can come down with it, and it's not really a 50-50 because you're in better position and you're waiting for it. And I think that's where Minkah Fitzpatrick makes his biggest plays in the game. I got him with multiple turnovers in this game to help the Steelers win, maybe even one of them being a pick six. But I do think that the Ravens keep it close because they'll possess the football. They'll run the football a lot. And if the Steelers offense, if they struggle to run the ball, it's going to be slow. But I think it's all about getting that lead early on, forcing the pressure on the Ravens to get desperate. And in the fourth quarter, you see them get desperate. Minkah Fitzpatrick gets the big interception, and that puts the game away. I have it being 23-16 Steelers. I think it's going to be close for a while, and the Steelers handle business late. They get a confident win, a three-game win streak, and a chance to get back to 500 next week.
What a time to be alive.
What a time to be alive. We'll see if we'll be alive in that time. Because if they do get to 6-7, it's going to be a lot of talk about them getting back to 500. But before that, they got to beat the Ravens. What you have it here, though, myself and Jenna Harner both think they will. Steelers fans, we'll see what happens there. Both of us will be at Acrisure Stadium this Sunday afternoon, 1 p.m. Let me know if you're going to be there at Carter Critiques. Always down to meet up with fans whenever I get some time to be in the stadium. Jenna, thanks so much for joining us here on the Locked On Steelers podcast like you do every Friday. Let people know they can find you, follow you, get more of your work.
I am so glad to be here. And I'm excited to see the potential return of the Acrature Pigeons as well. So bring that on. Love that. But you can find me on Twitter at JennaHarner11, Instagram Jenna_Harner, and on WPXI Channel 11 here in Pittsburgh. Lots of really great stuff coming up. Obviously, we're a couple weeks out from the 50th anniversary of the Immaculate Reception. We're working on some really cool specials for that. Sad. Also, we're working on the 50th anniversary of the death of Roberto Clemente. I've heard some unbelievable stories about him. I'm working on some feature stories there as well, too, to, you know, how his legacy stays alive and just how incredible of a person he was and all that he did and just, you know, why he is such an incredible person whose legend and legacy continues to live on. So definitely stay tuned for that later this month.
Absolutely. The great one. No, there's not enough homages out there for what a great person he was and a great player he was and a great legend he still is to this day. Thanks so much, Jenna. You can find me, Chris Carter, on Twitter and Instagram at Carter Critiques. You can also follow my work at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette at post-gazette.com, where I cover Pitt Athletics. You can also find me on the Locked On Steelers podcast Monday through Friday right here on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, or YouTube. Like this video if you saw it on YouTube. Subscribe to the YouTube channel to get all of our daily episodes. We'll be back Sunday night / Monday morning breaking things down on what happened with Steelers-Ravens. Have a good weekend, Steeler Nation.